listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live, coast to coast, 6 Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. What a day to be live talking football. Man, oh, man, we got the right guys. Steve Fezzik, one of the pros who know, and Brad Powers. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. Even if Fezzik doesn't want us to, we will do it. Sometimes he tries to hold back for his own pocketbook. No, none of that. You can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start on Straight Outta Vegas on a Friday with huge news out of the NFL. The New England Patriots have released Antonio Brown. He's been there a little over a week amidst all the off-field problems continuing to come out. The reports, Sports Illustrated with the latest of threatening text messages to an accuser. Nonetheless, his time in New England is over. The Patriots cut Antonio Brown.
The longest week in the history of sports talk radio. Is that only been a week?
Week or so.
Be a little bit more.
Yeah, who knows? At this point, 48 hours seems like a long time.
No, I mean, it does seem like a long time, doesn't it? But there's been so many ebbs and flows. Let's get the Vegas take first. So, Fez, you and I think a little disagreement when it comes to AB's value, but we're talking decimal points. I think he's worth, and again, we're assuming playing at his best, not any of the BS we've seen this year. I think he's still one of the top 5-6 receivers in the NFL. You agree with that?
I agree. I have number 6.
Okay. And I think he's worth between a point and a point and a half. I'm thinking more towards a point and a half. You're more towards a point.
Yeah, I just have him as 1 point, but I will say this, RJ. New England is stacked at wide receiver, so he might not be worth as much for New England than any other team.
Or there's another way to look at it. And Brad, you think so? Give me the other
distractions that's going on. Wouldn't he be worth more, at least as far as this week?
Well, now that's an interesting question. So let's think about that for a minute, and then we'll get back to on the field. I know Brown is worth something. He's valuable. He's above replacement, no doubt. So now the question is, if you add on the field, is that all that matters? I don't think so. I think that if you distract, take away off the field. If you're a minus off the field, then you've got to kind of counterbalance it. Lawrence Taylor, you could make the case, was a minus at times off the field. He was a monster football player on the field. And then the minute he wasn't a monster on the field as a player, that's when those guys get cut early oftentimes. It's like, wait, he's 32 or 33. And I'm not talking about LT specifically, but why doesn't anyone want to pick them up? Because when they're so good you can overlook it, some teams do. As soon as that's over, you're done. Talking about being canceled. So, Brad, so your point is this week you could make the case, though the market says otherwise. My first thought was, AB's really valuable. He's gone now. That's a negative. We can debate a point or a point and a half.
Yep.
But the distraction is gone. So that's a positive. I'm not sure this week. My thought was it might balance out. I think over time, the distraction would have been gone anyway, meaning either AB would have been integrated into the team or he wouldn't. And if he wouldn't, he'd be off the team. So this week, though, it just seems like there was a groundswell where Belichick's walking out of press conferences. Yeah. Now, in theory, you could say 50-50, you know, pro, con, but moving forward, you'd say, well, Brown was good, and he's not on the team anymore. So, Fez, let's look at this week, because I was wrong. the market said what in reaction to this last few hours?
1 point adjustment in the market. So New England was laying 22 to the Jets. Now they're laying 21.
Now listen, 21's a key number, right?
Oh, yes.
So it's about a point and a half.
Yes.
Okay. Now, but it, I would make the case it's a point and a half even with the distractions being removed, which in theory means he's worth even more than that, which I don't think is possible. I don't think he could be worth two. That'd be like the most valuable player in football other than quarterbacks.
Correct.
So either the market is saying the distraction was a non-factor, or the market saying Brown is the best non-quarterback in the NFL, which I don't think we think is possible. So I think the market might be a little wrong here. I could see going from 22.5 to 21.5. Going from 22 to 21 is different.
Yeah, and 22 is a completely dead number, though.
Yeah, so. Well, but what isn't it? I mean, like, how much more dead is it than 5?
Fair enough. When it gets to 22, it could hit.
Yeah, so, okay. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. So we got the Vegas take from the bettor saying a point, point and a half. We got the Vegas take from the betting market saying, well, it looks like a point. Some of the other shows would say a point. But they don't understand, or they forget, maybe. Let's be charitable. The 21's a key number. So the market, I think, is overreacting. Would you agree with that?
I thought it was proper. I thought it was right what I expected.
All right, so let's think about that, because it doesn't make sense. To me, you're saying he's worth a point.
Yes.
From 22 to 21 is more than a point, a minimum, right?
Yeah, a little more than a point.
So the market's moved more than you think that it's worth in a vacuum, Brown.
Yes.
And you do agree the removal of the distraction has some value for the Pats.
Yes, but wouldn't that make the spread go up above?
Yeah, it would go against the move. Exactly.
Right.
So what I'm saying is there's a drag on the... Let's think about if the moves were... And it's probably good to slow down for a second and just talk about what we're talking about. So the line was 22. Let's say the two factors about Brown were separate. We could do the calculation separately. All right. So if you just say, hey, Brown's gone, that's a negative for the Pats, right?
Yes.
So the line would go from 22 to 21, which is a little bit more than a point because it's a key number, right?
Right.
Now, if you remove the distraction as a second transaction, the line goes up.
Back up to 21.5.
Or something like that.
Yes.
So it feels like the market's moving a point and a half net net. It doesn't feel like that. It is that. And net, the idea that Brown's worth a point and a half, even when you remove this monster distraction that he's been recently, boy, I think it's an overreaction. Fez, how couldn't it be if you think he's worth a point and moves a point and a half net with the consideration of removing the distraction? It's like if there was no distraction to remove, he'd be worth like two and a half, the market's saying.
Yeah, it's a great point, and it's
I'm finally getting it,
and it's unfortunate because I want to bet more on the Jets in this game.
I do too. I can't lie. I'm RJ Bell. He's Steve Fezzik, usually as sharp as a tack. He did go to Northwestern. So overrated. Ooh.
I actually agree.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, seriously. Jonas, what's your thoughts?
I think if any organization's okay to deal with this, I think it's the Patriots. Only because he's been there, what, a week and a half? He played in one game. They tried their best to get him involved. It didn't work out. They cut ties and they move on. I don't think he had enough of an impact on the team and wasn't there long enough for it to make that big of a difference.
Are you talking about long term?
Yeah, I'm just saying right now in this spot, I think they're going to be fine.
It's almost like we planned it, because I want to pull some tape from the very recent past. Some would say it was a week ago. Others would say a little longer. It was right after the Brown signing. And I did something I don't think I've ever done it before. I disagreed with Bill Belichick. Now, you could think, oh, RJ, you're just taking a victory lap. No, that's not my style. You know that. What I'm doing here, I think, is saying the following. The fact that I could see it, the fact that I could see that Belichick was maybe making a mistake, tells you that this wasn't very Belichickian. So the question is, what does it say? What does it mean about this Pats team? First, let's listen about 10 days ago. I ever say this, so I'm a little bit apprehensive. I think Belichick might have made a mistake here. And here's why. It's been reported many times that Belichick loved Brown as a player. I can think back to when Pittsburgh went into New England a couple years ago in the AFC Championship, and they doubled him the whole game, and he still had about 170 yards. Lombardi, which the friend of the show, was talking about that on his pod just last night, how much Belichick just loves Brown. And you know how it is if you're pining away for something, right? I mean, it could be romance, but it also could be, oh, I wish I had that first edition of that book, or I wish I had dinner at this sushi restaurant with the great prefix. And then it becomes a little bit irrational. When I heard he signed with New England, I thought, oh my gosh, how much did he get? And I thought there'd be like a $3 million guarantee. And then, you know, upside up to 12 or 13 performance. When I saw the 10 guaranteed, well, the Raiders had him signed for how many years?
Three.
And he got 30 guaranteed?
Yep.
Let me do the math here. Hold on a second. That's $10 million a year.
Yep.
So what we're saying is the Patriots are paying the same amount as the Raiders. Am I missing anything?
As far as guaranteed, yep.
If he ends up being the fifth best wide receiver, then it's a great signing. But the idea that this is like a bargain discount. All right, guys. So first, let's get past that it seems like I had a crystal ball, right? Because we can have fun with that around. You know, let's focus on what we can learn from this. It strikes me that Belichick maybe got a little giddy. Because let's be candid, and I disagree with you on this one, Fez. Brown could control the center of the field. And their receivers right now, that's not their strongest suit. So, and again, this is where I think I have basic football X's and O's understanding. I'm not close to even a, you know, Division II coach or whatever, right? So, but even with my basic understanding, think of it like a game of chess or whatever, is if you're dominating the middle and the outside, what do? How do you compensate? It's almost like, as a defense, it's almost like cluster injuries, right? So left tackle is out. What do?
You shade over, yeah, you move over the tight end.
Exactly. But if the left tackle and right tackle is out, what do?
Right? Can't do much.
If you can dominate on offense on the outside, what do? Well, you put more resources there, less on the inside. You look at the Steelers stats, after Shazier went down, they couldn't defend the middle of the field.
Right.
Right? And he wasn't even worth a half a point, people thought. He wasn't on that list. It's been a multiple year endeavor to try to replace Shazier, and that defense has struggled with the Steelers since. I think with Belichick, he's always trying to be balanced. He's always trying to be multiple. That's the phrases you hear, the words coming out of him, coming out of coaches around him, those that know Belichick. He thought this could be a great team. This could be an all-time team. Brady's still able to perform. Maybe, Fez, you think he's dropping off for years now. I think he's pretty good still.
Doesn't show up on the tape yet.
So the fact is, do you have one of those tapes that, like with the 24 frames a second with the physical?
Just the NFL
rewind.
Could you
see him in the basement of his mansion? You know, yeah. So... To me, I thought he loved Brown all along. He knew Brown would be so effective on the inside. This was an all-time team, potentially. And he took a risk. Now, will they recover? I agree with Jonas. Over a couple weeks, month, they'll be fine. But the question is this week, are they relieved that Brown's gone? Are they so distracted for the aftermath of his departure that the relief won't come till next week? Is Belichick a little discombobulated, a little questioning himself? Because that's something he should rarely, if ever, do, it seems. He's the best.
Yep.
But in this case, though, Fez, the only thing I would say, and these are questions. So I loved the Jets at plus 23. This, to me, calls things into question. It could be a big advantage for the Jets. It could be a big advantage for Pats. I don't know. So I'm probably backing away from the game a little bit. You know, if your bets are in, I'd keep them in, but I'm not sure I'm laying new bets, especially at this number, which I think is an overreaction. The movement down to 21. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. I would not be surprised if this doesn't tick back up. You know, we'll see what happens. We'll keep you abreast throughout the rest of the show. Last thought, Fez, if I can spot Belichick's flaws, I mean, imagine when I turn my blue eyes to you, That's got to be intimidating.
It's scary because Belichick is so much better than every other coach in the NFL. You could argue the distance between him and number two is the same as number two to an average coach.
So I consider you to be the best NFL handicapper that's public in the world, but the distance between you as one and two isn't all that much. So now if I can spot Belichick's flaws, that means I'm going to just tear you up.
You already do.
Well, but I'm saying now that I'm more confident, it's going to get worse. And that begins when we come back. We're going to talk Thursday Night Football aftermath. Also, the Ravens and the Chiefs is like a movie blockbuster.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will take a look back at the opener to week three of the NFL season.
Yeah, in just about 15 minutes, Colin Cowherd's world premiere, pick number six. Thanks for joining us on this Pick-Palooza Friday. You can listen to 200 Fox Sports Radio stations nationwide. Also, foxsportsradio.com, iHeartRadio app. Sirius and on demand. Just search for RJ Bell right now in Las Vegas on the Strip. It's 82 degrees and the neon is pumping.
So week three of the NFL season kicked off on Thursday night. It was an AFC South battle, which saw the Jaguars beat the Titans 20-7. RJ, what's the Vegas takeaway?
Well, I got to tell you something. That what do they call him? The what mustache? I mean, have you guys heard this? Apparently his nickname at Washington State was something about his mustache.
I have not heard.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. The guy seems to have a personality.
You think?
Which is great, yeah. Right? I mean, yep. Especially if you can perform.
Yep.
And Fez, you were mighty impressed with his performance.
I was. And typically, RJ, I take a really good performance by a home team with a grain of salt on Thursday.
On Thursday specifically.
Right. Because
it's easy.
Yeah, you've
or
got
easier.
Easier, you've got the home teams historically have a bigger home field advantage and the like. But I really liked what I saw from Gardner Minshew, and because of that, I upgraded Jacksonville by a full point. That is a.
All right, so I'm sorry. What do you think was the key part of that sentence? I upgraded Jacksonville by
one full point.
There you go. Now continue.
And it's all about Gardner Minshew. He answered the key question.
What's his name?
Gardner Minshew.
Okay, Minshew. I got it.
And we were worried. He had some really nice stats year to date, but he'd been dinking and dunking, hadn't been going down the field.
So let's talk about this. Anyone competent at NFL quarterbacking, if you say, don't go downfield, limit yourself to short passes, the defenses to some degree are accepting of that. Now, if it's 3rd and 2, they're going to be a little different. But over the course of a game, ask yourself, which quarterbacks are successful long-term in the NFL that don't go downfield? And that's why some people believe it's an advanced analytic even, that yards per attempt, you know, it's a simple calculation, but it tells you every time you drop back to throw or every time you throw the ball, how many yards do you pick up? So if you complete every pass for 3 yards, it's going to be 3 yards per attempt. If you complete half your passes for 9, you're at 4.5. Now, what's the NFL average?
7.5.
Every time you go back to pass?
Yes.
Wow, that seems high. It's 7.5. Well, why don't they pass every down?
It's riskier. You get holding calls. You like turn the ball
like Woody Hayes?
Yeah, yeah, the Woody Hayes style, I guess.
And the quarterback gets killed.
Yeah, that's true, too. See, and that's the thing is analytics doesn't tell the whole story. But what we know is if you don't go downfield, you struggle. Now, up to this game, Minshew, how was he doing going downfield?
There was a next generation stat that had him ranked in the bottom 5 in terms of air yards, how far he would throw down the field.
And you could make the case that's even more telling, because if you throw a screen and the guy runs 15 yards, you're still going short. By counting the air yards, you're saying downfield, right?
Right.
How'd he do in this game?
He did great throwing down the field. What happens, the Titans came up, dared him to throw over him, and he just did. And not only were his stats much better going down the field, RJ, he threw a long pass that got dropped that was an easy touchdown, and he did it in the rain. There was some driving rain throughout about the entire second quarter as well. Bad conditions.
You know what's funny, Jonas? So, you know, we prepped this right during the break, and he somehow left out the one part of his presentation I despised. Was it a coincidence, Fez, that you left out the drop pass from your presentation?
Let's forget that drop pass. Let's just talk about the driving rain and wind.
He's like a very husky child with a jar of cookies, and he's staring at that jar. You know, one of those jars that you can see through? It's like clear glass, and it's just calling him. You know, they remember, Fads, it's almost like a devil on your shoulder. There was that one drop pass. You can throw some cloudiness into this very clear handicap of you. No, I won't do it. And then finally he's like, and, because I was kind of nodding, so he followed, like, oh, I'm doing well. And by the way, they dropped a pass too. Now, were there any passes caught that maybe shouldn't have been?
There were a couple receivers that caught long passes that were well covered.
Ooh, and so how do you balance
it? He dropped the diamond because Minshew threw great passes. It wasn't the receiver getting open. It was Minshew delivering.
I mean, is there going to be any competition with Jimmy G? I mean, you're starting to say Minshew with more verve right now.
I like the stash.
I mean, so now he is the stash.
Jesus.
Did you see, if you let him talk long enough, Jonas, they'll give themselves away. Did you look up?
That was Minshew Mania.
No, that's not it. I'll look up before the best bats. So you have two things to look forward to in the D block, right? Fezzik talking about the stash. That's Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Last thing on Thursday night. I think Tennessee, I'm disappointed. I mean, I liked them last week against the Colts. We lost that bet. We went 3-2 in the Super Contest, but still, that was one of our losers. And now you see them. I mean, Jacksonville could have very easily been discombobulated, a lot of distraction. How much did you downgrade Tennessee?
Half a point only.
Just that? Because you're figuring on Thursday on the road, it's tough.
Bad things can happen Thursday night on the road.
You know, RJ, this Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern time, we get ourselves the matchup of the AFC so far. In the land of barbecue and reigning MVPs, flooded with red, we get the Kansas City Chiefs, favored by 5.5 over those Ravens from Baltimore. Quote Vegas, nevermore.
Ooh, a little Edgar Allan Poe at the end?
Yeah, a little spice.
Now, is there any deceit, any deception, you think?
There's a little bit of deception. Some people look at these Baltimore Ravens and they see a team that is destined for greatness. I personally, being the voice of the fan, the Joe, the one who's awful at betting, sees a team who saved their coach's job a year ago by transitioning to Lamar Jackson. I just happen to wonder whether or not the Ravens are fool's gold.
Yeah, and to me, we're having a little fun like this is a movie, but in a way it is, because I believe the key to the Kansas City game against Baltimore is deception. And one of the most amazing stats you're going to see, and I had a feeling about this, and then I finally dug in this morning. Fez, if I said Andy Reid, does he do better early in the season or late in the season? First of all, have you done a study on this? And what's your gut feeling, if you haven't?
I have not done a study on it. I would imagine he does well early in the season.
And why would that be?
Seems like the Chiefs are always off to a hot start and have a really good record.
Okay, so you're explaining, you're saying he does well because you remember he does well.
Yeah.
But why do you think he does well?
I don't have a good feel.
I would make the case. Brad, do you have any theories?
Well, I think Andy Reid, maybe not as far as Super Bowl championships is concerned, but I think X's and O's, he's one of the best in the NFL. So throughout the course of a summer, I think he's dialing up different things that he can do with his quarterbacks better than just about anybody in the NFL.
And I think that's a very fair way to think about it. And again, we can't know for sure, but I think that if you're a play designer and you've got February, March, April, yeah, there's work to do, but the workaholics, when they're supposed to be on vacation, are designing plays. And I think you see that in general. The better tacticians on offense do better early in the year. They also do better with 2 weeks off, all the times when there's extra prep. So Kansas City last three seasons, right? Andy Reid at the helm, week 1-5. So the first third of the season, a little less, 12-0 straight up, 11-0-1, undefeated against the spread. And as I said on Twitter, at RJ in Vegas, Andy Reid slowly unleashing tricks he concocted during the offseason. Somehow, Jonas didn't use all my great terminology during his voiceover. So it's just better with his voice. All right. Watch out, D's. Harbaugh and Lamar have held back a few tricks of their own. And that's been my handicap on Baltimore the entire lead up to the NFL season, that they made that transition with Lamar Jackson in a bye week last year. And then they had to play. And then Colin said on our podcast, oh, but, you know, remember when Kansas City saw him the second time, or this would be the second time, I guess. And what we've seen is when teams have seen Baltimore a second time, like the Chargers did, they shut him down. Yeah, maybe. But you don't think that's what Harbaugh was doing the entire offseason, thinking this is such a rare opportunity. I've got a once-a-decade athlete, maybe not a typical quarterback in the NFL, right? Maybe, maybe not. But I have a whole offseason to surprise people. And I'd make the following case. If you look at how Baltimore did against Miami, they obviously won the game. But even more importantly, they ran the ball. Matt, I think it was 20 more rushes than passes. And then in the second game against Arizona, again, not a good team, Miami, not a good team, he actually passed the ball more. So wait a minute, 20 plus runs, passed the ball more than the other. You might say, well, it was a blowout, Miami. Yeah, but it was, you know, it was a nice margin in the Arizona game, right? It was a late score to bring it a little closer.
Yeah, Arizona cut it to six just in the, late in the fourth quarter.
So Fez, you're one to often speculate and talk about, this coach was able to hold back some wrinkles. Wouldn't you say Harbaugh for week three has held back or at least has the potential to have held back as many as anyone in NFL history? Because one, this offense is so different than any we've seen for decades. And number two, game one and two look so different. Who knows what's happening? Does Andy Reid have any idea what's happening in game three?
No idea at all. And let's face it, what's happening here is Kansas City, one of the top teams in the NFL. Arizona and Miami going into the season were projected to be the two worst teams in the NFL. Baltimore didn't have to show anything that they were going to use this week.
I agree. I think he's been holding stuff back for this week. Now, if Kansas City does so well because they score so much early, and we think the Ravens are going to score, I like the over. Now, we had a bet on this on the podcast, if I recall. You want to recap that bet?
Yes, I liked the under, and you pressed the button on me.
And it was for 300, and it was over what number was it?
I think it was at 52.
Okay, and what's the number now?
Number is?
I think it's gone down a little bit. So here's the question. The rain, everyone's thinking, it's supposed to be raining. Here's what you got to realize. The rain, if it's not very, very windy, doesn't have the effect you might think. It's not a huge consideration for NFL teams. Now, if it's a downpour and you can't see, it's a different story. First off, Fez, what weather forecast are you seeing for Kansas City?
Yeah, I saw that there's a chance for rain. It's not a lock, so it's like 50-50 whether there's going to be rain. That's what I saw, and moderate rain, not heavy rain.
All right, so
52
is the
current number. The market.
So I'm thinking about going over for another 100, Fez, if you want to do it.
Let's do it.
Brad, what's the chance that he really wants that bet?
Oh, geez.
I mean, he has no... Yeah. Be honest, Fez. Do you want that bet?
I want it.
No, I'm being serious. Do you want... Speak from the heart.
I do, and here's why.
Okay.
I firmly believe that Baltimore is going to ground and pound this game. I can't be sure. There's going to be wrinkles, and they're going to have success because the Kansas City defense, the run defense is poor, and I think there's going to be a lot of long ball control drives.
We've got an extra 100 on it, guys. Last thing on this game... What's your quick take, Brad?
I'm neutral, and normally I would take the RJ side of things.
Oh, but you're actually not wanting it.
No, I'm not, because I can see both arguments.
Last thing on this, I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. I think with Lamar Jackson, for some people, it's become political. And to me, and you might say, well, how political? It feels like the idea that people did write off Lamar, the reality, not write off, but he was a late first-round pick. It's like, wait a minute, this guy won the Heisman. Why shouldn't he be a higher ranked pick? And then they say, oh, he's a black quarterback, so maybe there's some type of bias. You know, I don't know what's in the hearts of the NFL execs, but what I know is that those who think maybe the bias is there are getting a little irrational, I think, about the Ravens. So I'm going to read something, and I'll be candid. I love The Ringer. I think they have some high-level analysis. I used to write for Grantland and Bill Simmons for a football season. No negativity at all towards him. But this is a guy named Mr. Sherman, and he said the following. Lamar Jackson, and I'm going to read it here, one sentence. is already obviously one of the best players at the most important position in football. Now, when I hear one of the best players, I'm thinking at most you could be saying eight quarterbacks, you know, are the best. Because if you get to 10 or so, it's like the top third.
Yeah.
That's not really the best, right? That's above average. So anyone who thinks Lamar Jackson is right now the eighth, even being generous, the eighth most valuable quarterback, I wish I could bet against you. I'll say it that way. The world premiere, pick number six from Colin Cowherd.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have best bets as we take a look ahead to a busy weekend in the world of football. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Quick question, Jonas. Lifestyle question. The famous Fezzik quote. No. When you were on the scene, you know, you're engaged now.
Yeah.
Is what I read on the internet.
Yeah.
Is did you ever ask a girl out and she said, I'm pretty set right now?
No, I didn't recall hearing that one. I've heard a lot of them too. I don't recall that one coming up.
Yeah. All right, guys, we said it. This is pick number six. Colin Cowherd gives it to us exclusively. Let's listen in.
Let's go. Go.
No.
Hey, that's great football now.
It's Colin's.
Bonus pick only for RJ Bell.
Pick number six.
Bonus pick, Saints plus 5.5 at the Seahawks. Seahawks have a couple of wins by 3 points combined. Again, it's a number here. Bridgewater's capable. Taysom Hill in packages is clever. Sean Payton, I think their defense is actually really good. It gave the Rams a lot of problems, except two deep balls, one to Brandon Cooks, and then a broken tackle. Cooper Kupp went down the field. It gave the Rams a lot of problems. I'll take the Saints plus 5.5. Bonus picked. What would the wise guy say?
I personally go with disagreement here.
Okay.
And it's against Bridgewater. Last year we were in, you might recall, the Super Contest Gold. It's $5,000 to get in. And we were tied for the lead with 2 weeks to go. It was like a $640,000 prize. And one of our picks was the Saints and Bridgewater. Our thinking was, you know, they got Bridgewater as kind of the starting QB in waiting, and now they got a game where they had their seed locked. They were really going to focus on giving Bridgewater a whole game to really do his thing. And he was horrendous in that last game. 14 of 22, 118 yards. Think about that. Week 17, they lost to the Panthers. And they were at home in that game. So it's one game. Maybe you're not so worried. In the preseason, very pedestrian. Only averaged less than 6 yards per attempt. So he wasn't throwing downfield at all. In the game when Breeze got hurt, 17 of 30, 165. And again, yards per attempt less than six. So his QBR was 11. Mm. 11 out of 100. Mm. So we haven't seen anything from Bridgewater that's good for over almost 2 years now, and he had one good preseason for the Jets, remember? After that, since his injury, nothing. And why all of a sudden the coach of the Saints saying, oh, maybe we're going to use this package and that package? Why would you want to distract Bridgewater? I think it's a cue from the Saints and Sean Payton saying, I'm not that confident in Bridgewater. Seattle's a great home team. The market has a lot of faith in Bridgewater and the Saints. That's why the line is so low. I don't share it. I don't like the Saints. And think about it, guys. Seattle is unbelievable at home. You go back 15 years, they are the number one home team covering the spread in the NFL. The line right now is what in this game, Fez?
4.5.
And home field for Seattle?
4.
Might be 4, 4.5, but let's say 4. So we're saying that somehow the Saints without Breeze are an even team against Seattle. That either is total disrespect for Seattle or there's a over enthusiasm, too much enthusiasm for Bridgewater.
Yeah, I agree. And the one wild card is Taysom Hill going to actually play? Because I really do like Taysom Hill.
So we think the third string quarterback is the key to the game.
I think he's better than the second string quarterback.
Well, but then that means even if he only plays half the time, then you've got a third string quarterback in.
Fair enough.
And then someone worse.
Yes.
When we come back, I'll correct Fez on a few more things. We'll go through rapid fire, the quarterback changes in the NFL, plus best bets, plus Jonas, 2-3 now on his career. Will he have another pick?
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. So one of the storylines going into this weekend's games in the NFL, RJ, are the slew of injuries to key quarterbacks around the NFL.
Yeah, youth movement, some are saying. We talked about, and let's start here, Breeze a little bit. I think Bridgewater overrated. I think right now Seattle being favored by 4.5 at home, implying they're only slightly better than a Breezeless Saints team. I don't know. But I don't like Seattle either. So I'm looking to fade whoever ends up winning that game next week, fade them. Fez, let's go rapid fire down these. Let's start Breeze. Now, you think what? Because you disagree with the market.
6 points.
And the market's saying?
Saying 4.5.
Okay, so really it's back to they love Bridgewater, it seems.
Right.
Okay, Cam Newton out. Now, let's assume, we don't know how healthy Cam was. Let's assume he was healthy. How much of a downgrade to the backup?
4.5 to Kyle Allen.
Kyle Allen. I haven't said his name very often. Yeah. All right, Sam Darnold out. Mono. I think he's going to be okay for the prom, I hear, but he has mono right now.
5 points to go with Luke Falk.
Five. So how much was it in your mind to, I'm having a mental,
Simeon,
yeah.
Two.
But the market thought like 4 on that one. Right?
So, it did.
So it seems like the market's reacting big on all of these.
Yeah, the market likes Darnold more, and the market reacted 7 points from the look-ahead line on this line from 14 to 21.
All right, so the look-ahead was before Darnold was out. Oh, wow, 7. And you're saying, again, with Darnold to the backup?
5.
All right, now, one more. Rosen. So this isn't so much an injury, obviously. This is a replacement. I'm troubled by the Dolphins in general, but I'm troubled by the midweek decision because who was taking the snaps Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? And now you've got a quarterback first time in a real game in this offense. I consider Rosen a downgrade at least this week. What do you think?
I agree. I have Rosen a 1.5-point downgrade from Fitzmagic.
Yeah, anyway, I mean, it's hard to be an upgrade from a guy with magic in his name. Last thing, Big Ben to Rudolph.
I have it at 6 points, but the market agrees with that move.
Well, I tell you this, game is part of my best bet, Jonas.
That's right, RJ. It is best bet time. Who do you like this weekend?
I'm going to make it quick because we got a bunch of best bets. Steelers told us how much they like Rudolph. Why? Because they traded away next year's number one pick. If the Steelers thought they were going to win 4 or 5 games and pick 4th, 5th, 6th, they'd have their next quarterback potentially. Instead, they say, nah, give us some defense. We've got our quarterback. Also, Tomlin, best coach in the NFL when his team looks like they're going to drop off a cliff. It was his 7th season before Tomlin lost a single game when the team had a losing record. Think about that. The league, during his tenure, has won 40% of the games they entered with a losing record. Tomlin didn't lose one until his 7th season. My pick, Steelers, plus the generous points.
It is a Friday tradition here on Straight Out of Vegas where Brad Powers gives you his no way it can lose, wink, wink, money line parlay in college football.
And there's 2 minutes, Brad. We're going to do this one quick. You're 0-2 this year. It shows you how hard this is.
Yep.
This is the hardest way to make money. We know people love parlay, so we're going to show them. Even Brad is going to struggle. You've got a 4-teamer. Hit us quick.
Yeah, $100 to win. You won 24. 4 teams. First team's Washington,
all right,
RJ.
Washington, then?
Georgia, Washington State, and Missouri.
All right, you're going to tweet this out.
Yep, I'm going to tweet it out.
At Brad Power 7, and here's the 4 teams. You put them in a parlay, 100 wins, you won 24. This is only if you love favorites. It's tough, but it's fun. Washington, Georgia, Washington State, Missouri.
Final best bet goes to Steve Fezzik.
I'm on Atlanta +1 against Indy. I bet Atlanta. Atlanta is underrated. This team's 1-1, and they've been outscored. But they play 2 good teams in Minnesota and Philadelphia, and the underlying stats for Atlanta are very good. They've actually outplayed in the aggregate those 2 teams. And key injury, Indianapolis linebacker Darius Leonard, concussion, just got ruled out. He is a really good player.
What's this guy's name?
Ladarius Leonard.
What position?
Linebacker.
How much is he worth?
He's worth almost a point. He's a top 100 guy of all players.
He led the NFL in tackles.
Pro Football Focus.
You know what's funny? I would pay $1,000 to see his list of players. He'll never show it because it is like a constitution that changes every day based upon the win. It's almost like it was a king walking around going, oh, that's legal because I just did it. But listen, if the guy didn't have peccadillos, who knows? He wouldn't just have a mansion and a yacht, Steve Fezzik. He might be like, you know, a governor in Nevada or something. So, guys, anytime you get mad at his peccadillos, just smile and say, if he didn't have those, we wouldn't have him on the radio. He'd be behind golden walls. Luckily, he's not.
If you missed any of today's show, check out the podcast for a full preview of this weekend's action in college football and the NFL at foxsportsradio.com. We are Straight out of Vegas, back on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!